Let's talk to Jeff Barton, who, as well as being one of our top local head teachers, is also a bit of a collector, aren't you, Jeff?
Good morning, Mark. Happy 90th. Thank you very much. You only look 87.
Bless you. It's those injections, you know. They work wonders.
Yes, I'm a radio anorak, it has to be said. Not that I realised I was going to be ambushed into talking about that.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but you did let it slip one day. You've got a collection of radio jingles, haven't you?
Well, yes, only about 75,000.
Wow. That's incredible.
But as you know, a radio jingle can be, you know, two seconds long, so 75,000 isn't necessarily as impressive as it sounds.
No, it is. I'm sorry, Jeff, it is. So have you got some of ours from over the years then here?
I probably have got some of yours. Yeah, I have to say I'm not kind of actively collecting because when I was about 14 or 15, the thing that started me off is that I listened to Radio 1 and Radio 2. My sister had moved to America, and when we went to visit America, I heard exactly the same tracks being played on radio stations there, but with different lyrics. And I became fascinated by who was putting these things together, who was crafting them. And what I started to do in those days was collect them. And in those days, you had to do that by... I used false names and pretended I was head of a radio station. And I got tapes, reel-to-reel tapes, sent to me. Nowadays, it's so easy to be able to collect jingles that you could spend, you know, every day collecting them. And it's too easy, so I don't do that anymore. But I still have a huge nostalgia for the great era of jingles, which are the 70s and 80s, I think.
And what would that be? The sung ones, the Pam singers, Dallas singers?
Yes, it was for me, the best jingles in the world are made in Dallas, and that happened for all kinds of reasons to do with union law. It was cheaper to be able to get singers to sing there without paying them a lot of money, and so they created essentially a kind of industrial line where what they were doing was putting the tracks down and then bringing singers in to sing for lots of different radio stations. Dallas became the capital of that, still is the capital of that, and they produce, I think, the kind of magic which I love to listen to on the radio.
It's very evocative when you hear songs from the 60s, the 70s, and you hear that with jingles from the radio stations of the time. They really are of the moment, it seems.
I think so, and when I moved down to Suffolk, and we've been here 15 years, one of the huge areas of heritage in an audio sense is the pirate radio stations. Now, the radio stations like particularly Big L and Swingin' Radio England off the coast of Frinton and so on, those were playing those Dallas jingles. And when Radio 1 opened, they went to the same company, had some of the same tracks sung. And Tony Blackburn opened the station in 1967 with that glorious American sound. And I think that redefined pop radio in this country. I think it was a major moment for those of us who love radio.
And that was the thing for you, the pop music, the fact that this was, you know, being played, and the whole kind of feel of it all was what did it for you? Was it coming out of the speakers?
Yes, I think that those people who thought that radio was going to die when the internet and other things came along misunderstood that radio is the one thing which we can take with us wherever we're going, wherever we're working. You know, I'm sitting in an office now. I could have the radio on and be listening to that just as I could when I'm driving. And the defining feature of radio for me was when I finished doing my O-levels back in 1979, sitting in a deck chair in the garden in what feels in retrospect like a glorious summer free of exams, listening to Radio 1, and it was the days of Noel Edmonds on Breakfast and then Tony Blackburn. And there was something about which defined a lifestyle and created a mood, and I think radio does that. I think Radio Suffolk does it. I think all the BBC does it. And it helps us to know who we are, I think.
We must be of a similar vintage, because the scene you've just pictured is mine as well.
Yes.
I wanted to be Tony Blackburn because I thought it was really cool
that
he could take his dog to work. Well, Arnold, woof.
I really hesitate to say this, but I wanted to be Noel Edmonds. Now, those are words you will not hear on Radio Suffolk very often, I think.
Fantastic stuff. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Great to talk to you.
We love the BBC. Happy birthday.
Bless your heart. Thank you very much.
Through the years, he's collected lots of jingles.